KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Conversation. A Department of Justice investigation of the Seattle Police found the SPD engaged in an unconstitutional pattern of using excessive force. Well, last July, the Department of Justice and the City of Seattle signed a consent decree, and it compels the city to take certain steps to remedy the problems. As part of that agreement, Mayor Mike McGinn created a 13-member community police commission. Lisa Dugard co-chairs that commission. Lisa Dugard is an attorney. Her day job is deputy director of the Defender Association. It's a nonprofit criminal law firm, and her efforts there have been dedicated to reducing racial bias in Seattle's criminal justice system. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Ross.
Let's start at the report that kind of got this whole thing rolling, a long investigation from the Department of Justice that came up with flaws they found in the Seattle Police Department, most notably excessive unconstitutional use of force. What was your take on that report?
Well, the report investigated both the question of use of force and racial disparity in SPD enforcement practices, made a finding that there were unconstitutional uses of force taking place, did not make a finding of legal violation in the area of racial disparity, which ironically is the area that my project has concentrated on for the past 12 years at the Defender Association. So in a way, although clearly having DOJ do this work focused attention in a way that was very helpful and is going to has set the stage, I think, for us to find solutions to longstanding problems, the report itself did not frame the question about racial disparity in a way that that answered the questions about what's wrong and what needs to happen. And so that's a body of work that has actually been left to the Community Police Commission to take up.
So the Department of Justice said we couldn't find a pattern of racial disparity, but you think that's because they asked the question the wrong way?
In short, yes, and I think that they would agree that it's they were not concluding that there isn't a problem, and they did conclude that there's a community belief that there is a problem. They were more saying that the data that they were working with did not establish legal grounds for them to proceed against the department at that time. And what's good is that no one is the way the agreement was structured between the city and the Justice Department. What we're going to do collectively isn't limited by the report. Everyone has agreed that we want to make progress on issues of race, racial disparity, and the relationship between SPD and the entire community. So I think all parties are to be commended that the work plan of the commission and the other parties isn't the report is like the threshold. It isn't the ceiling of what we're supposed to do.
Now, was the Seattle Police Commission, the commission that you are the co-chair of, part of what came out of the consent agreement, or is it something that's being done kind of in an effort to fulfill the terms of the consent agreement? Was it specified by the DOJ City of Seattle agreement?
The creation of the commission was a condition of the agreement between DOJ and the city. Although it's the charge to the commission is really outside the scope of the consent decree. The consent decree references the fact that this commission exists, but the terms of our job and kind of the five areas that we're supposed to focus on are defined by a memorandum of understanding, which is apart from the consent decree, and really is connected to that decree by the good faith of everyone concerned. So that the city is undertaking to take this seriously, and DOJ is accepting that the city will take this seriously.
Now, are you at work yet? Is the Seattle Police Commission that you've been appointed, are you up and running?
We've not been confirmed, so we can't officially act. I'm hopeful that the group will be confirmed quickly and without difficulty. It's a very strong group. There's a real diversity of views and experience, but a common orientation around finding solutions and being able to listen to one another, and that we're really fortunate that the group selected has those qualities. So we hope to be confirmed in the next month or so. I think we will have some. It sounds like the council may be the city council may allow us to go ahead and begin doing some housekeeping work so that we can get we're all very anxious to get underway, and it sounds like we'll maybe have some preliminary discussions before we're finally confirmed.
Well, let's talk about the big overarching job of the Community Police Commission. It's to support the development of reforms. It's to help establish police priorities, and it's to establish mechanisms to promote community confidence in the Seattle Police Department. I want to kind of unpack that and figure out what that actually means. For example, how will the commission be supporting reforms?
Well, we will be bringing to bear the views and experience of the community to help define the problems before there's a final resolution on what the solutions are. And I just can't stress enough how important that is. You can't actually fix anything until you have an accurate understanding of what's gone wrong. And while many people have opinions about, that there is something wrong, understanding precisely how that's come about and how it can be rectified is critical. So that, to me, that's the core of what we're going to be doing. We will be discussing with voices, people within SPD, policymakers in the city, and community leaders and people who have actually experienced the good and the bad of SPD practices over the last many years. What can we call from all of that knowledge to figure out what needs to be changed and what needs to be strengthened? There are really promising developments within SPD over the last several years as well. And the last thing we would want to see is those scuttled or undermined inadvertently while we're trying to fix something. We actually, sort of cut the ground out from under reformers who have been moving in really exciting directions within the department.
If you just joined us, Lisa Dugard is with me, and we're talking about the Seattle Police Community Police Commission that's been set up. It's not quite underway yet, and the idea is that they're going to be participating in coming up with new ways for the department to work and maybe fix some of those flaws that that very critical Department of Justice report came out with, and maybe even go beyond what was in the report in certain areas that the report sort of left open. So another big role of yours is to help to establish police priorities. I mean, what does that mean? The commission's not going to set police priorities, is it?
Well, hopefully we will have we will conduct a credible conversation that is influential with the department. We don't have formal power, at least not yet. The city council can always, by ordinance, invest this commission with more specific authority or responsibilities. Right now, though, the power that we have is more persuasive, and we will try to use that to the best of our ability. But in terms of setting priorities, I think that one of the key functions for us is to help lead the development of a community consensus around what we want from our police department. The fact is that a lot of the problematic interactions between officers and members of the public happen when we ask the department to do things and solve problems that are not really police issues.
For instance,
a couple of years ago, one of the instances that gave rise to a lot of consternation in the last couple of years was when an officer who had been tasked with doing jaywalking enforcement down on Rainier Avenue near Franklin High School got into an altercation with a young woman, with two young women. Ultimately, he punched one of the young women, but that was after she and another woman.
And a very dramatic videotape seen all over.
Yes, exactly. And, there were a number of troubling things about that interaction, but the question that was least asked, but is probably the most important, is the one that the city attorney asked right afterwards. Pete Holmes said, the real question we should be addressing is why was SPD dealing with high school students jaywalking across Rainier Avenue, at breaks? Why is that a police question? And frankly, in terms of racial disparity, one can ask, is it a police question in every neighborhood of the city or only in South Seattle, where, the majority of the involved young people are kids of color? So that, I think, for us on the commission, there's a huge opportunity to say, when there's a problem like that, why isn't that a conversation among other departments in the city and the school board? And why can't we bring other resources to bear? Can we find a safe way for those kids to get across that street? Should it be a closed campus? Lots of solutions other than sending a patrol officer out there to issue jaywalking tickets was just setting that individual officer up for bad interactions with young people who are, going about their day as best they can. And that just didn't need to play out in that way.
So you would recommend that a police priority not be, in that case, enforcing jaywalking rules.
But the thing is, people hear that as jaywalking's not important, and that's not at all what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's the orientation of people on this commission. It's that that's a serious problem, but is it a police problem?
Right.
When we devolve to using the police to address those things, we set up these interactions that almost are inevitably going to go badly instead of working on a solution that where the police are a very peripheral presence. There's been a series of conversations over the last several months that the mayor's office convened called the Center City Initiative, looking at public disorder issues in downtown. And those conversations, which is have involved human service providers and business leaders, have been super encouraging to me because they've broken down things that we have all thought of as police challenges, police issues that happen downtown, behavior, urban poverty, visible urban poverty, problematic behavior, and really identified that much of that is not a police question. There are there is a category where people are acting illegally, and it's a legitimate situation for the police to be asked to respond to. But most of what really bothers people are problems that could better be addressed through other interventions that don't involve the police. And when we send the police in to be our leading edge response to that, it sets everybody up for a bad experience. So I think if the commission is a place that points that out, that that's not a legitimate expectation of our police department, again, we're laying the groundwork for a much better outcome.
If you've got a question for Lisa Dugard about this community police commission that's been set up, a number of representatives from varying parts of our community are going to be on this, and they're going to be getting underway once they're confirmed by the Seattle City Council. Give us a call. It's 206-543-5869. It's 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Then another aspect of what you're going to try to do is mechanisms to promote community confidence with the Seattle Police Department. What does that mean?
Well, the impressions and expectations lag considerably behind experience. So how people feel about the department now is really not a reflection on what's going on in the department now. And I think that's a real challenge. You know, dissatisfaction and distrust has been building for many years. I have been a public defender in Seattle for 16 years. And I have to, interesting conclusions from my, that period of time for me. The last 2 to 3 years, I think, have seen more meaningful reform by SPD than at any time since I've been looking at these issues. And yet, the last 2 to 3 years have seen more sort of, have seen a peak in community dissatisfaction with the department. So what that tells me is that, in the last couple of years, officers who are viewed as having, widely viewed in the community as having acted inappropriately, have been disciplined, and that discipline has been fairly rapid, transparent, and explained. But there's still this strong sense that that doesn't usually happen. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from many years' experience of it that was totally different. For example, in 2007, there were two officers who made a drug arrest downtown, and there was video of that arrest that became widely available and was analyzed by independent experts. And it really looked like I think actually it's clearly established, and judges found that what officers were saying happened was just radically different from what was shown on the video. People in the community, including myself, expressed concern about this, and the response from the department at the time was that the then chief called a press conference to criticize the critics. And those officers were not seriously disciplined. The discipline was not very publicly visible. So that experience leaves a lasting impression that is hard to turn around. It's like turning around a battleship. We're not going to do it instantly. We have to, I think, performance has to change, and then it has to be seen to change for a sustained period for people to begin to feel differently. But that doesn't mean that those feelings of mistrust in the community invalidate what's currently going on in the department either.
How do you get to an acceptable level of community dissatisfaction with the police? I mean, there are always going to be some people dissatisfied with the police, maybe rightfully, maybe wrongfully. I mean, what's the acceptable degree of community satisfaction with police?
Right.
How do you even gauge that?
I mean, honestly, I think that the same that applies to the kind of work that I do as a public defender. We will never, in my work, be in a situation where every public defender does everything right all the time. And some clients are going to have legitimate complaints sometimes. If we're doing our job right, what happens is that we welcome that information. We make sure that there are multiple portals through which we can receive it. There's no closed door. You know, any time that somebody has something to convey, we're open to hearing it. And we sort it properly. We don't assume that it isn't true. We investigate it carefully, and then we learn the lessons of valid complaints and concerns and make improvements so that that thing doesn't happen again if it's avoidable. And with the police department, you know, that's what we have to aim for. There will always be things that could be done differently and lessons to be learned from mistakes that are made. We have to make sure that those lessons are learned and that they are seen to be learned. To me, one of the problems we face till now is that problems have been all processed through the officer discipline structure. And so if a community member's rights are violated, they make a complaint and the department investigates to see if their employee should be disciplined. Well, the employee, the officer, has rights, which are important and need to be protected. And if the problem that occurred did occur, but it wasn't the officer's fault, it was a training problem or a policy problem or something further up the chain of command, what happens in that misconduct investigation process is the officer is exonerated and the complainant is told that nothing wrong happened. In many instances, something wrong did happen. It's just the fault of the organization. It's not the fault of the individual officer. We need to make sure that those instances where rights were violated, even if it wasn't the individual officer's fault, are validated, not invalidated by the investigation process.
As I mentioned, and you've mentioned, you've got quite a diverse group of people who are on the Community Police Commission. And as I read it, you don't need to get a consensus of all them agreeing on action. You could do something with just most of them agreeing. But I'm wondering if that's going to present problems if the commission comes up with a decision on a certain thing and you're all not on board with it. For example, the police department representative on the commission is not on board with it.
We actually haven't even decided. It's not specified how we will be making decisions, and I'm sure that's one of the very first topics that we'll be taking up collectively. And I don't know what we'll decide, whether there will be a majority vote mechanism or some other way of moving forward.
What do you prefer?
Well, I don't care actually what the mechanism is. I care that no matter whether we could decide by majority vote, that if remotely possible, we do achieve consensus. Because to actually achieve change, all of the relevant points of view need to have their needs met by the way that we decide to go forward. And that is not an impossibility. It takes work and it takes openness and it takes really listening to one another. I'm confident that we can get there with this group.
Finally, we're just about out of time, but it's my impression that the Community Police Commission's power will be more in the bully pulpit rather than telling people what to do. Is that accurate?
I think that is always how we get things to actually change. So, yes, I agree.
Lisa Dugard, good luck with you starting up the Community Police Commission. We'll have to have you back once things get underway. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Ross. Thanks for having me.
The Community Police Commission is set up as part of that whole agreement between the Department of Justice and the City of Seattle to try to fix some of the problems they found, including unconstitutional pattern of the use of excessive force. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.